Blog Talk Radio.
The mediocrity that I won't accept. As long as God give me life, I'm gonna give my best. Greater is in me than what your eyes can see. My current situation is not the best of me. Not because you tried it and it never worked out. Don't try to discourage me or fill me with doubt. Faith is the substance of things so far and the evidence of things that I've not seen. I'm gonna go higher. Don't tell me that I can go higher. It's more than
good evening, everyone. Praise the Lord. Welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I'm your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we have Pastor Steve Lee, and he's going to be bringing us part three of The Purpose of a Thing. So, as always, I do encourage you, please grab pencil and paper, get ready to take some notes, and get ready to give us provide some commentary if you feel free the need to at the end of the broadcast. We thank you for your attendance, and we thank you for your continued support. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Pastor Steve.
Hey, man.
Pastor Steve,
you
have the mic.
Brother Mike, yes, thank you. Glad that we're able to just come to our brothers and sisters to encourage them and strengthen them in their faith. So if you would, just join your hearts with me in a word of prayer, and we'll get started. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open mine eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. For you have made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name I pray. We want to kind of get into part three here of the purpose of a thing. And I am in a study of purpose because I'm finding out as I dig deeper into this, you know, the whole thing that we have to execute is to understand our purpose. Without understanding our purpose, we really would be just an accident going somewhere to happen. Because we, without understanding purpose, we would be like that wind that's, you know, driven hither and thither, you know, because we don't have anything that as is of God that anchors us. Now, most of the time when we talk about purpose, you know, we would like to think that that's the alignment of events that are going smoothly that would define or tell me that I'm connected to purpose. And I believe it's going to have to be a little bit more to it than that, because I was talking to someone and I said this, the Bible tells us that the leaves on the trees are for the healing of the nation. And I know that some of the foliage that has been used to make alcohol, beer, hops, and they make hops. They use hops to make alcohol. And from what I understand, when people drink the beer, they are not healed. They're probably much worse off. Their understanding is impaired. So then just because they made a lot of money through alcoholic beverages, and just because there are people that have made a niche for it in their life, that doesn't make it purpose, the purpose of God. Cigarettes are made from tobacco leaves, and the Surgeon General has determined that cigarette smoking can be hazardous to your health. How could that be then for the healing of the nation? See, so sometimes we can do a thing and it could be very, produce a lot of money. It could be income friendly, but that doesn't mean that it was attached to the purpose of God. Okay? Without understanding purpose, abuse is inevitable. Okay? And that's what happened with that whole, those two industries that I just mentioned, because they didn't understand purpose. They did find something that it could be used for, but that was not purpose. I mean, it's a lot of things that we find in history that have happened negatively because of those two industries. People's lives have been shortened because of those two industries. So that could not be something that's attached to purpose. Okay? And if we don't understand and find purpose, then we're going to abuse the thing. Our foundation scripture is found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. It says, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. So then we still haven't entered into the purpose for that, for the leaves of the trees. Because God wants healing. He wants that. In Romans chapter 8, it tells us that the whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for one thing, and that is the manifestation of the sons of God. But we are trying to find a purpose in things that, A, we might like, or things that are going smooth and easy. And I do understand smooth and easy. I get that. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy. I get that. Burden light, I understand that. But we're always going to have resistance, but we should still confront the resistance from the position of victory. You know, there's a lot of scriptures that I just love to remind myself of. It says that if I would resist the devil, that he would flee. So then that doesn't sound like I'm going to be in a long knockdown drag out fight. Oh, I do understand that because we don't know how to use our weapons effectively, that we do a lot of that in the flesh, by the will of man, if you would. I understand that. I'm not mad about that. I'm not going to judge people in that. I did that, okay? I do it a lot because when I don't understand, I really don't like the devil so much that I want to put him in his place. Well, actually, see, that's me functioning outside of my purpose. It did say very clearly in Romans chapter 16, verse 20, it says the God of peace is going to bruise Satan under my heel shortly. I didn't see my name in there nowhere, y'all. Just help me. People, sometimes I get connected emotionally to a thing, and I just want to make sure the devil gets told. I get that. But if I would trust in the Lord with all my heart and stop leaning to my own understanding, stop looking at things from my perspective, in my time frame. See, again, he says that the season and the time was already given to everything that was under the heaven. See, it's already established. My job is to find the purpose, because when I find the purpose, I can then enter into the season and the time for the thing. You know, a lot of things that we want to have happen, we're just not even ready to receive them. Jesus gives us this information throughout the Word. Paul said, "It's a lot of things I want to tell you, but you're not able to receive them now. You're a babe. You're still dealing with milk." Just because I see a thing does not mean purpose has been transferred to me. And that's what I would like to kind of deal with, is that we should understand, look for the purpose of a thing. See, not just the benefit of the thing. Most of us, because of trials and tests that have went longer than we would want them to go, we just want to get through with this thing. See, and I understand that concept. But if you rush through, a trial, I'm not guaranteed that you understand how to sustain victory if you rush through. You know, without the help of God, I shouldn't try to get to the end of the thing just because I want to elevate myself and escalate myself to the next level. You know, remember that the disciples were in the boat, and they was all kind of jacked up, messed up, and they didn't think Jesus cared. And they said, "Master, do you care that we perish?" And Jesus said, "See, y'all don't know how to utilize faith yet. I told you we were going to the other side. How is it that you have no faith?" And then he gave them some more information. And then because Jesus was in the boat with them, it says immediately they were at the other side. See, with Jesus in the boat with you, with Jesus correctly positioned in the situations that you're going through with you, you can then move to the other side. But just because you want it to come to an end, that might not be the best thing for you. But you've got to learn how to walk in this. You've got to learn how to, let's get processional with it. You've got to learn how to stand. Having done all to stand, then you will be able to walk in the Spirit. A lot of times we've been knocked down and we're trying to walk. It's very difficult, beloved, to walk in a knocked down position. Okay? Because when you stand or walk uprightly, the Bible says in Psalms 84:11, he will not withhold any good thing from those who have learned how to stand correctly and walk uprightly. See? A lot of times we just are so fatigued in the thing that we just want it to be over. And I would submit to you that that kind of thinking will also set you up, because the devil is an impersonator. He is a counterfeiter. I can't even name how many times there were people that were looking for a mate, and because the devil was able to get in there, they ended up with a person they were not supposed to end up with. And then they went through hell because they tried to get to the end of the thing without learning how to stand in the thing first, to stand in faith first. See, if I don't resist the devil, it's going to be difficult for me to maintain whatever I can receive. Because it comes in twisted, if you would. See? Because a lot of times, we would think of things that, you know, we say, well, God, he's going to do it the way I want him to do it. No, you need to find out what the purpose of the thing was. Once you understand what the purpose, then the timing is going to also be revealed. Okay? I just want you to know a couple of things. That God has always made everything from purpose, for purpose, by purpose, through purpose, on purpose. I say that every time for this teaching, just to help people know and understand. First of all, you are not a mistake. Okay, that's good, God. You are not a mistake, and you're not purposed to live in mistakes. I hope you heard that. See, some of the teaching that we received, you know, came from the position of pastors or the teachers that would tell us that we're going up the rough side of the mountain. Well, no, I don't have to function from that position if I understand Scripture. He said he has made me to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, far above all principalities, powers, might, dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. See, if I understand that and I function from the position that he has given to me, then I don't have to fight with flesh and blood. See, when we fight with flesh and blood, we will get tired because those battles will not allow us to have sustainable victories. Because if I sow to the flesh, I am of the flesh going to reap corruption. Okay? Corruption, just so that we kind of get this, corruption is working on a thing and in a thing slowly, so sometimes you don't even see that it's being affected by corruption. Rust is a form of corruption. And if you leave rust working on that steel, on that metal will become weak and be able to cave in and give up. But you've been watching this metal and this process for so long, you didn't know corruption was happening. See? I'm just trying to give you some pragmatic examples here. See, we want to hurry up, hurry up, hurry up. No, I need to learn what's necessary through purpose. It's not through, I don't get what I need to get through greed, lust. I don't get it that way. Remember the book of James tells us that we ask and receive not because we ask amiss so that we can consume it upon our lust so we can get through the thing faster. See, that's not what God is after. He's wanting patience. The book of James just lays this out. He asks us to let patience have the perfect work with us, that we would then be perfect and entire, mature and entire, wanting nothing. See? But if I just want to get out of the thing, then I'm not going to learn. I don't understand purpose. Believe me, I don't like trials. I don't, just like you don't like them. But if I understand purpose from God, I'm not trying to understand the purpose of the trial. My positioning of purpose is way higher than trials. God sent me a word before the trial came. That's the way we were created, beloved. I reference this scripture all the time. John chapter 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "The thief only comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." And I make the understanding clear that the devil could not steal what you don't already have. See, the way I was taught, you know, they told me that the devil's people were the party people. Well, Jesus said the devil does not come for the party. The thief cometh not but for two. He only comes so that he can steal, so that he can kill, so that he can destroy. I don't find party anywhere in that. I do understand that there are seasons of pleasure that's connected to sin for a season. I understand that. That's because we want to have our own way. And so then when we get our own way, we want to then enjoy our own way. But there is a way that seemeth right, but the end of that way is destruction. Corruption was working all the time you were having your own way. And why did you want your own way like that? Because you did not understand purpose, not purpose of the tribe, purpose that God ordained. Watch this. If you would turn with me in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 14. See, I found out that purpose is eternal. Glory to God. See, trials, tribulations, circumstances, those things are temporal. According to Ephesians chapter 4, they are subject to change. That's what temporal means. Because the trial that you started in this morning could be over by noon if you would learn the purpose of God in your life. See? Because when I have the purpose of God working, then I can bind the hand of the enemy, because now whatsoever I bind is bound. I understand purpose. See? God has sent me something that was eternal. Okay, I said this last week. Just want to remind you that purpose comes before any promise. Purpose is the power behind the promise. Purpose provides provision in the promise. God does not speak idle words. Therefore, he cannot make idle promises. His words have purpose. Jeremiah 29:11. Says that I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil. They are thoughts that will bring you to an expected end. See, God is thinking, speaking, bringing purpose into your view, into your understanding. And he's trying to get you to function in that by understanding if he thought it, if he said it, then he's going to attach purpose so that you can execute it. All right? Let's read Isaiah chapter 14. And this passage was talking about the opposition that we're going to run into and God's remedy for this opposition, okay? God already has a remedy for the opposition. And God's remedy for this opposition is not just you binding and loosing, okay? I guess we've tried to get a little rub-a-dub-dub action happening. You know, we just want something. We feel like we did the right thing. If you would understand purpose and function and flow in purpose, it takes care of it. Watch this. All right? I'm just going to let it refer, starting at verse 12 and following. And he asks a question. He's talking about Lucifer, the devil. He asks, how are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Okay, yeah, I just want to make sure I see that. Which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee, and consider thee. And this is what they're going to say when they see you. Is this the man that made the earth to tremble and did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? That opened not the house of his prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all of them, lie in glory, everyone in his own house. But thou art cast down out of thy grave like an abominable branch, as a raiment of those that are slain, thirst through with the sword, that go down to the stones of the pit, as a carcass trodden under feet. Thou shalt be joined with them in burial, because thou hast destroyed the land and slain the people. The seed of evildoers shall never be renowned. Prepare slaughter for his children, for iniquity of their fathers do rise, nor they possess their land, nor fill their face with the world of with cities, nor fill the face of world with cities. For I will rise up against them, saith the Lord of hosts, and cut them off from Babylon, the name of the remnant of the son and the nephew, saith the Lord. I will make the possession of it for the bitter and pools of water. I will sweep it the besom of destruction, saith the Lord of hosts. Verse 24 and following. The Lord of hosts have sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, it shall come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. I will break the Assyrian in my land, and upon the mountains tread him underfoot. Then his yoke shall depart from off of them, and his burden shall depart off their shoulders. Verse 26, this is the purpose which is purposed upon the whole earth, and this is the hand that is stretched out upon all nations. For the Lord of hosts has purposed, and who shall disannul it? The Lord has stretched out his hand, and who shall turn it back? So I want you to know that he said that in this scripture, the answer for trouble in my life, God said, is wrapped up in purpose. It wasn't just wrapped up in smiting, in hitting. He says, this purpose is purposed in the whole earth. Okay? I want you to kind of get that. Notice God says, the way I'm going to deal with the devil is I'm going to release words, and my words are guaranteed. They're not going to come back to me void. My words are carried out by purpose, because God does everything on purpose, through purpose, from purpose, by purpose. Okay? So then if we would begin to find out what is God saying, because he doesn't want his people. He wants us to be able to address the one that made us quiver, the one that would not let us go out of his house. Because the Bible teaches us that we were taken captive by him at his will. We were taken captive. But see, Jesus came and redeemed us. And now we should understand that we were redeemed so that we can show forth the glory of God. We were not just redeemed so we could get out of trouble. That was not the purpose. The purpose was so that we can show forth the glory of God. See? I know we've looked at it from our side, and then we were just going to make sure the devil knew that we was all of that. I would much rather stay in the place where the armor of God works, because when I understand it, when we put on the whole armor of God, the devil don't know if it's God or you in that armor, because it's not the armor of Stevie. I don't fight the devil in the armor of Stevie. I resist the devil in the armor of God. Okay? I put on a breastplate of righteousness. I make sure that my heart is connected with God correctly. I put on the breastplate of righteousness. I think correctly. I have on the helmet of salvation. I take God's armor and I utilize it in my body. I put on the helmet of salvation. I make sure that my feet are shod. Come on, y'all. That my feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I shouldn't be thinking about, I'm going to get you, sucker, if I have on the shoes of peace. No, not the shoes of no turmoil, the shoes of peace. Okay? Because when I am at rest, when I, mankind learns best at rest. He learns less by stress. So if I have on the gospel of shoes of peace, see, it causes me right slap dab in the middle of a trial. If I have peace on my shoes, my steps now, my steps are ordered in that peace. They're ordered in the word. They're ordered in peace. See, they're not ordered in revenge. See, I'm just trying to help us. We look at things from a perspective of natural dealings, and we've got to stop that. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to make sure that strongholds are pulled down. So that then the peace shoes of gospel that I have on, my steps then are ordained in peace. See? But a lot of times, I just want somebody hurt me, injured me, spoke about me, and I want to make sure they get theirs. See, I don't have on the right shoes. Okay? And I don't have to fight at all because he tells us the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll do the repaying. But I'll be trying to help him say, Lord, I need you to repay on this date right here. And I even have some of the methods that I would like for you to use. I'd like for you to go ahead and take everything that they got, that they'll know not to mess with a child of God. No, see, the gospel of peace would be, if they're on my feet correctly, then I would do what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5. I would pray for those that despitefully use me. He did not say pray against those that despitefully use me. See, when I understand purpose, when I understand purpose, I can function correctly because I have been called to the ministry of reconciliation. And that ministry is supposed to be used when I'm going through trials. When people are coming at me, I'm supposed to be one that has on the gospel shoes of peace. See, I'm not supposed to be the one that's trying to get my way so that they'll know I'm the child of God. Because, see, when I think like Jesus thinks, and I let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, he did not make for himself any reputation. See, that's the thought that Jesus had. See, he didn't make for himself a reputation. He didn't go and say, I'm going to get you. In fact, he said quite the opposite. He said, let me just help y'all. I could pray to my Father. And my Father would have 12 legions that would help with this fight. But that's not my purpose. See? I could change it by doing stuff the way you want me to do it, in the flesh. But then I'm not doing what my Father sent me here to do as a minister of reconciliation. See? Because in the trial, beloved, you are still required to be the one that is going to minister reconciliation. You owe no man anything but to love them. At the time they're coming at you completely wrong, you owe them love. See? And if you don't release that love, now you are found to be a robber. Why are you a robber? Because you owe them love. By this, everybody's going to know that you are my disciples when you have love. Not when you think about love, when you possess love. When you reach, and as you reach, you're reaching from love's position. You're not reaching from revenge's position. See, you have to understand the purpose that you're here. He said, let your light so shine. He did not say, let your anger shine. They're not going to know that you're called by the name of the Lord because of your anger.
They're going to know that you're called by the name of the Lord because love is released. See, that's the purpose of the thing. I mean, Jesus said, Father, don't hold this against them. Don't put this to their account. Forgive them, please, Father. They don't even know what they're doing. But I know what I'm doing. I'm living by purpose. I'm living on purpose. I'm living through purpose. So then my purpose is to make sure that reconciliation is given for them. If I say I love, because I can't love you who I haven't seen, if I don't love them who I'm looking at. Okay? If I don't love, then they will never see the way you want your love to be displayed, because love doesn't fail. Love doesn't present itself haughty. Love does not take an account of a wrong done. Love won't fail because it doesn't do it from that perspective. Love is supposed to cover. And what does love cover? Love covers a multitude of sins. While we were yet sinners, while we were yet in our sin, he died for us. See, this is the purpose of a thing. Because when I get this, I'm understanding that the devil is not the one that's going to determine how this thing works, how this thing goes. That's not the devil. God said, I have a purpose, and my purpose is eternal. And when you function in my purpose, the end is guaranteed, because I have purpose, and no one can stop it. See? It's just, he doesn't, we're supposed to be co-laborers with him, but we get off the faith bus. We get out of the peace bus. We get off the love bus. And God doesn't move. He says, when we are not faithful, he yet abides faithful. He lives there. And he just waits till we decide to get back on the bus. When we decide that I done had enough, I done went around this mountain 27 times, and I don't need no more. I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm going to love, not because it hurts. I'm going to love because love heals. See? Hurt people. That's why we keep ending up in cycles of hurt, because we get hurt and we hurt people. Hurt people, hurt people. Healed people, heal people. See? So then if I want to see something, come on, y'all, if I want to see something stop in my life that I see as negative, then I'm going to have to be one that is healed so I can stop it. Healed people, heal people. I can then be a minister of reconciliation. Because I'm not going to speak negatively to bring curses on the people that are already living in darkness. The reason that they do what they do is because they're functioning in darkness. I am the bringer of light. So that if I'm the bringer of light, I cannot bring darkness or hide my light under darkness. I have to allow my light to so shine that men would see my good works. They won't see my bad works. They won't hear my bad conversations. They will see my good works, and then they will change their conversation. They will glorify God. See? That's what he's asking us to do. When you understand purpose, then I'm not moved, because purpose is eternal. This is the purpose that I purpose in the whole world. He says, when they do this, look at this. Verse 24 again. Surely the Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Surely as I have thought, it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. See, he's not playing games. He's telling you, the devil thought they had won. But see, as surely as he has thought, as surely as he purposed, Because on the third day, purpose was then understood. On the third day, victory was then transferred, because there was the man, Christ Jesus, that did what the Father told him to do, and then he gave us instructions that we should go into all the world and teach men to do the same thing that he said. Teach them to observe. Teach them to see. I mean, it's just a powerful thing. I was kind of looking at that the other day. And they're going to see because I had words. Okay. Just tell them right quick. We're just going to jump on it. Matthew chapter 28. It's just interesting. I thought differently. Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission. Starting at verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, okay? So this whole passage is referencing what Jesus was saying. Is that correct? Okay. I want you to get this. How many times he's going to emphasize words? Okay. And he said, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the world. Okay, go back here and look at this. He said, teach them. That's in verse 19. Teach. That's going to be done by example. I get that. But it's primarily going to be done by conversation. Is that correct? I'm going to communicate. All communication is teaching. Got that. So I want you to see and understand that he's speaking to us. He's speaking, and then he is emphasizing teaching. So then probably the teaching is going to be done the number one way, by speaking. Okay, watch this. Go therefore and teach all nations. And I looked at it because I saw action here. I thought action was more important, because baptizing them in my, because I grew up a Baptist. So then we understood baptizing was a physical act. Well, it also is a spiritual act, because when I speak words, those words, I'm asking you to enter into those words, submerge yourself in those words. As you submerge yourself in those words, you are being baptized. When you hide the word in your heart, and the word is all people see, that word that you hid in your heart has now come up on you. That has caused you to be baptized. And you were baptized the same way that the Father. In the name of the Father, that would be in the Spirit, wouldn't it? Because God is a Spirit. And the Son. And when he said this, he was speaking from a spiritual perspective. Because he told him that, don't handle me. Don't handle me, because I haven't gone to my Father to take care of this stuff in the Spirit. And he said, all power has been given unto me. That would include spirit first, wouldn't it? Spiritual power controls every other power. See? But I always looked at that and said, okay, these are actions that need to be taken. I need to go out and make sure people get wet. No, he said teaching them. Watch this. Keep looking at this. It says baptizing them, immersing them in words of the Father, words of the Son. The Holy Ghost's job, one of his job descriptions, if you would, John chapter 14, verse 26, it says that when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he shall bring to your remembrance what Jesus said to you. He didn't say he's going to bring to you some water. He's going to bring to your remembrance words. See? Because Jesus is the one that said, the words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life. He didn't say the water that I'm dipping you in. See, we transfer our thinking went immediately to actions, not to words. Watch this. He said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20, first word out of verse 20, teaching them. If actions were so necessary, how come it's, you see all of the emphasis on words here? Teaching them to look into the words that I spoke. Teaching them to observe. Teaching them to be able to continue to wait on the Lord. You know, sometimes we just kind of pray, but we didn't even see what the prayer, the purpose of the prayer. We didn't see it. Jesus said something very powerful. He said, I don't do nothing except I see my Father do it. I only do what I hear. See, he was trying to get us to understand even then that it's more imperative to have the understanding of the purpose, not just hearing the command and trying to run with that, not understanding purpose. See, look at this. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all whatsoever things I have commanded. Again, a command is verbal. The execution of the command, yes, that has action. But he said, I want you to teach them to listen at command. See, the purpose of a thing. There are times I did things I thought was in the will of the Lord, and I had people following works rather than following the word. Because I was giving commands, and the commands demanded action instead of them going to the place where David said, I hid the word in my heart so that it's alive there. That's what Jesus said in John 15. It says, if my words abide in you and you abide in me, then the word that's abiding, the word that's alive, you will then be able to ask what you will and it will be given you. See? It wasn't just actions, it was a word that was alive. Teaching them to see how to do what was said, not teaching them to do what was said. Once you see how to do it, the doing is the easy part then. How many frustrated Christians do you know that keep telling you they don't know how to do what God is asking them to do? That's because they didn't understand purpose yet. They're just trying to do commands. And generally, when we go after it that way, we fail miserably. See? Because it has to be alive on the inside of you. He's not looking for parrots and puppets. He's looking for sons. Glory to God. See? He already has parrots. Glory to God. He doesn't need for you to be a parent. Why would he make you in his image and then ask you to be a parent? Just going around saying it. No, he spoke to you and the word in your heart was alive. And then that live word that you spoke became that which was needed. That's the way it's worked all the time. He gave you a rhema word. And when you gave that rhema word authorization out of your lips, that rhema word, which was alive, made life. But here we go, and we try to make people live off the logos because it's a command. And we break them, smash them, leave them, forget them. because it wasn't alive on the inside of us, because it had no purpose on the inside of us. It was just something to be executed. Works. Jesus said, no, I want you to teach them to learn how to listen and observe to do. Take your time, meditate over and over and over and over until that word becomes so much a part of you that you can't see yourself doing anything but that. I was working at a church, and I hit my hand with a hammer, and my thumb with a hammer. And when I hit my thumb, I said, "Bless the Lord, oh my soul." That's the first thing that came out of my mouth. And one of my coworkers looked around. I mean, I hit it pretty good. I'll even go one further. At first thing she said, "Wow, that word must really be in you, because if I had hit my hand, you might have heard something a little bit different." I was doing, years later, again, this is just the way I've practiced living this way. I had a pneumatic nail gun, and I was very tired. And so I missed the wood, and I shot the nail into my thumb. And I said, "Bless the Lord, praise you, Jesus." First words I said. I didn't get mad and everything else. People came up, "You all right?" I said, "Yeah, I'm all right," because the word was so much in my heart. These are the things that I said. I said, "Well, the devil didn't get to do what he thought, because the devil is not as fast as an angel, because the angels excel in strength." Okay? So then it never went into my bone. It only went into the flesh part of my thumb and came back out. It didn't even bleed. I took myself to the hospital, and I'm walking in. I said, "Well, I need somebody to help me." And they saw it. They all, "Woo!" I'm just saying, "Well, you know, I just need to get it out and put a band-aid on it." I didn't get stitches. They just pulled it out, put a band-aid on it, because a word was alive on the inside of me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. It got stopped right at the point of entry, and it had to come right back out. It didn't do nothing. Again, these are just things I lived through. One time I was cutting a tree with a chainsaw, and the chainsaw jumped, and it grabbed again, hit my thumb. And I said, "Well, bless the Lord." And I had to minister that night. I'm a drummer, so I have to use my hands to play. And I said, "Well, I'm not going to try to mess up the bandage and stuff. I'll just play with my right hand, because it was my left hand that got attacked." And the pastor that we went to visit just literally said, "Man, what are you doing?" I say, "I'm committed. The devil ain't going to get the glory out of this. If I was supposed to play, I'm going to play." And he watched me all night, and he said, "Man, I don't get it." He said, I've heard a lot of drummers with two hands. He said, "You played better than drummers with two hands." I said, "That had to be the glory of God, because that's what I want to release." See? I want to do that. I want to allow God to so fashion my thinking that I would teach people to observe what Jesus said. It would be nice to be able to get to the place where we do what he did. But if I don't see what he said, I probably won't do what he did. See? This is how, you remember all those stories that you had, sorcerers that were working magic, quote, now, in the name of the Lord. They're people, they didn't get the purpose. They didn't get the purpose. All they were trying to do is mimic the thing. That's why the seven sons of Sceva got in trouble, because the demon said, whoa, you can't just mimic this. He said, "Jesus, I know. Paul, I know. Who are you? You haven't been walking in this. You haven't been speaking because of this. You're just trying to go and get to do it." Peter said the same thing. Paul told the one that was coming there, talking about, I'm going to do stuff like Paul did it. He said, "Well, you're going to be blind for a season." Why? Because people have always wanted to mimic what they see. But we're supposed to understand the purpose of a thing, then it flows out naturally. See, it's part of life, because the life, the Zoe, is in me now. See, because if my words abide in you, you abide in me, then you will be able to have Zoe released. You will ask what you will, and it'll be given you. See, that's understanding the purpose. The word was not there just so that I can show everybody I know it. It was there so that I can live it. See? And as I live it, then I become that minister of reconciliation because I cause life to happen every place I go. See? I just release what's on the inside of me. I no longer have to walk around begging and hoping that God will do something. I go and move, and as I move, the Spirit of God goes before me. And if that wasn't enough, Jesus said he'll be there with me, and he'll confirm the word with signs following. So I can be completely engulfed in the presence of God, because it's the presence of God that makes the difference. It's not me desiring it sincerely. Again, see, that's what Jesus said. He said, if you believe in your heart and do not doubt, then you shall be able to speak to this mountain and it'll be removed. Got that. But see, I don't have to go around wondering. I can go from a position of power and say, this is in the way, and the purpose of God is for me to get from here to there. The purpose of God, you have the ability to change things. Joshua caused the sun to be stayed, because purpose was needed to be executed. Okay? If you would understand, it's not just so that God can show off, so that you can get all the accolades. No, it's so that you can establish the purpose of God in the earth. That's what he's looking for. The whole earth is groaning and travailing, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. People that walk like this. People that think like this. They do things on purpose, by purpose, for purpose, through purpose, on purpose. Now, I, as he is, now so am, are we in this earth. We go in and affect change. Okay? Because we are couriers of the kingdom. We are those that have the promises of God. And because we have the promises of God, then every time, every place the sole of our feet go, he's given it to us. So then it's very easy for us to impact change because he's already given us the territory we're walking on. We're walking into people's lives, and he's given us the territory of their lives so that they can be free, so that they can enjoy good of his hand. He's given us that. He didn't give it to us so that we can manipulate and control them. He gave it to us so that we can call freedom. That's his purpose, and we're supposed to extend his purpose. Jesus said he came to seek and to save those that were lost. That was his purpose. To find people that were hurting and give them freedom of the spirit. That should be our purpose. To find those that are in darkness, find those that are in bondage, and bring light into the situation so that they would be able to experience the freedom. They need to be able to taste and see that the Lord is good. But see, if I don't understand that that was my purpose from jump street, then I'm just going to be offended because someone did say it or handled me the wrong way. When all the time I have the word of God living on the inside of me. It shouldn't be bound up. It should be free to roam. Free to establish the grace of God. This is what he's asking us to do. Because to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose that's under heaven. Let's decide that we're going to find out how to flow in the purpose of God rather than look for the promise of being kept by God, checking to see if he is true to his word. He told you, when I say it, it's going to come to pass. Nobody can stop it. You want to know why the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Is because we are trying to get what we want and not get what he wants. His purpose is eternal. hasn't changed. He wants to take his people out of the hand of the enemy. Take the yoke off of their shoulders. Take the burden off of them. Bring them to the place where they can enjoy light instead of enduring the darkness, mad and shaking a fist at the darkness. Let's find out what his purpose is. Function in that purpose and enjoy his presence. But the choice is yours. Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you today. Father, we just thank you and we bless you for opening our eyes, causing us to see and then become desirous of your purpose, not just finding a promise so that we can exalt ourselves by that promise, but we will find out the purpose so that we can please you in the things that we do. Cause us to do that, Father. Cause that to be ever mindful of that, and that will be the thing that we walk after. We thank you for making our spirits come alive to purpose the way you ordained it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Glory to God.
Amen. All right, folks, we're going to go ahead and get ready. Open up lines for commentary on tonight's teaching. All right, starting with area code
678-328. 678-328. You
have the phone. Amen. Oh, again, I we think just thank you for.
Me. Well, it probably would be you.
I'm not used to just the first couple of numbers. Like, oh, wait a minute, that's me. I have been blessed. I have truly missed. I usually work on Mondays, and today I was off. So to be able to come in on a word concerning purpose, because you're absolutely right, a lot of people don't know the purpose of a thing. That's why they do give up. And even though this is the last session of it, I'm thankful that I got to the end of the thing, so therefore the beginning is already my life. And it's like, okay, yes, you confirmed your word today, Father, in so many loving ways to let us know. When you do know the end of a purpose, when you know the purpose of your life and where you are, you can go through, as you said, Pastor, tonight, with joy, knowing that you are in the place of victory from the beginning.
From the beginning. Yeah.
From the beginning. That's what you said. Yeah. From the beginning. You don't fight from the place of defeat. You can't run while you're standing. But if you're standing in the place of victory, you can run because your steps are already ordered by the Lord. He's already
fought. That's the way it goes.
Everything that you have God has used you to say has been, if flesh said anything in the first, Scripture came right back and put a period on it. And that has blessed my heart today in hearing how the Lord has used you to bring light to something so simple but yet so complex. And I thank you. I have truly been blessed and grateful that the Lord had me off today. So,
amen. God is faithful.
Pray.
Amen.
Amen. But look, tell me again. How can a person go back and actually view past teachings?
You can just go to Blog Talk Radio, and you'll see the rooms. You look for Pastor Steve Lee, and they should start coming up.
Okay, so blogtalkradio.com.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
Is it .com, Brother Mike? Is it .com?
Yes, sir.
Is it .com? Okay. Is it .com? Okay.
Yes, sir.
And then I'll do it.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you both. And again, may you both continue to be a blessing. And when I am able to get on Mondays, you know I'll be here.
Amen. Glad to have you.
Oh,
amen.
Thank you.
All right. Next caller, 678-233.
You have the mic. All right. Again, we just thank you for being here in the room with us. All right, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, next caller is area code 312-330. 312-330. You have the mic.
Hello?
Yes, hello. How are you doing today?
Hello. Praise God. I enjoyed the teaching today. You've really done a lot explaining purpose and what purpose actually means. A lot of times while you were speaking, I told you, I listened to what God said to me at the same time. And
yeah.
He said that a lot of times we get ahead of ourselves or we block things that are
sure.
supposed to happen because we have in our mind a direction that we think that we should go in. And
correct.
God's plan for our life, just like you said earlier, could be in a completely different direction. And we
yes,
don't
yes.
know. So we, a lot of times, are our own worst enemy when
correct.
It comes to that.
Yes.
Earlier, when I first got born again, and I started just really digging into the scriptures, and I got so many revelations, and I understood
mm-hmm.
so much, and it was like, wow, I gotta tell somebody this. I have to, but you know, the scriptures specifically state that a woman cannot preach, but in my own
mm-hmm.
mind, that fleshly mind that I still had, I thought,
yeah.
Well, surely that doesn't apply to me. But, you know, and God said to me, okay,
yeah.
so you don't like that scripture, so we'll just tear that one out.
Right.
Okay. And so
yeah.
then it was like, whoa. And he said, well, what else in there you don't like?
We
can
we
just
do.
Tear those
yeah.
out. No, the fact of the matter is they are all relevant. And
yeah.
if it says you
yeah.
can't do this, it means you can't do this. And then I got confused because he said, if a woman needs to learn something, let her go home and ask her
husband.
Okay? And then I didn't have a husband. So now where was I? Okay? So
yeah.
there are a lot of things. Yeah, there are a lot of things that the Holy Ghost will teach us as we continue
right.
to read the Word and trust the Word.
Yes. Yeah.
That's the biggest
yes.
thing. If God
yeah.
says it, He means
yeah.
it.
Yeah. yeah.
So again, and the other thing that I just wanted to say, again, there is one hope of your calling.
Yeah. One hope.
Everybody
right.
does not have the same calling.
Correct.
Although, if everybody that sits up in these mega churches and just churches would
mm-hmm.
tell somebody about Jesus, we act like we got born again. We know that it's true and that it happened.
Right.
But then if somebody comes against what we've been taught
hold
in
on,
the scripture,
hold on now.
Mm-hmm. We shut our mouth. We don't
yeah,
say
yeah.
anything.
Yeah.
That's not how it is. The truth is the truth no matter what. And the only way that people are going to be helped and we are going to be held accountable is if we speak the truth too, which is the word
right.
of God. Okay.
Right.
And again, whoops, nearly dropped the phone. And again, I just want to say thank you so much for the teaching. Thank you for talking about purpose. Thank you for talking about Jesus. Okay.
Amen.
God bless
amen.
You, in Jesus.
Thank you. All right.
Amen.
Be blessed. Yeah. Amen. You know, this
amen.
Is, we've got to wrap this thing up. we've got to wrap this thing up. Sin has had its way long enough, and the primary reason that sin has been so prevalent is because we, the body of Christ, have not done our job. Because he is not going to come back until we look like him. Okay? And if we are still arguing and fighting, biting and devouring, that's not what he sent us. We are agents of change, but that change must happen through love. And that's what we haven't done. We haven't loved. So, amen. We're going to have to get on that. Thank you, my Mike. Next call.
Amen. All right. Let's go to area code 352-870. 352-870. You have the mic.
God bless
you. Amen. Go ahead. You broke up.
Okay, hello?
Yes.
Okay, so what this message is doing for me, it's showing me that I put my purpose, I put my desires before the Lord's purpose, and it's correcting me, and it's showing me how to get back on track and my purpose. And understanding how to function in it, because the offense, I've been operating, I see an offense, and you know what, it has gotten me to a point of isolation. And I see now that the Lord doesn't want to, he don't want us, the way he wants us to deal with these things is through reconciliation and not the trespasses. You know, we don't want to, he doesn't want us to hold anything against people. But when it was when I'm looking at my goals concerning other people, then and if they ain't going with me, then I'm offended. Now I can't rock with them. So now he's like, no, this is about me, because I paid for you. And this is about me.
Right.
That's my life now. And then I want them too. He wants them too. And he can only get them through us. So I'm just so thankful. I'm just so thankful. And if I just continue to stay out my way, then that path is clear. But I'm so thankful because it has shown me that we have a ministry of reconciliation.
Yes,
that's what we're here for, and I'm just so thankful, and it just helped me to see the purpose once again. Amen. Y'all continue to be blessed. You are blessed because you're carrying the blessings, and I just thank you, and we appreciate you all.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. I mean, it's just so true. The devil uses us to mess us up. As you said, we become our own worst enemy. And the easy thing to do is to just surrender. There was a song that we used to sing in my generation. Is I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. But we didn't do it because we still held on to offense. We still held on to our way. We still held on to the desire to be right. I was a brother that was in the ministry with me, and he and his wife was having intense fellowship, and he wanted God to get her and show her that he was right. And God said, "Well, let me just ask you this question: would you rather be right or righteous?" And when he heard that, he said, "Okay, I got it." He said, "Righteous is a whole lot better than being right, because I can do it my way and end up separated, isolated, in a season of hellish experiences, or I could be righteous and then you'll work it out." So that's just something to think about. Amen. Thank you for the call. All right, Brother Mike.
All right. All right, Pastor Steve, that is the end of our callers in the queue. Is there anything else that you would like to close out on before we end the broadcast?
No, just like I say, just let's arm ourselves with this mind, okay, that was in Christ Jesus. Let's arm ourselves with that. Let's not try to do it our way. Even Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So there's a purpose in it. God is trying to establish you as a righteous son. Whatever you go through, do it by righteousness. Amen. Thank you, Brother Mike.
Amen. All right, folks, well, that does conclude our broadcast for tonight. If you have been blessed by any of the teachings that you've heard here, please sow a seed at www.livedeliverance.com. And we'd like to thank you for your continued support. And if it is the Lord's will, we will see you again here live next week on Live Deliverance on blogtalk.com. Shalom, everyone, and have a good night.
Shalom.